Hello and welcome to Amateur Radio Topics. I'm Kevin, VK6 Lima Whiskey, and in this episode I'll be talking about the Barrew Contest, or the Commonwealth Contest, which, as the name suggests, is limited to people that live within the Commonwealth. So this is an unusual contest, has an unusual scoring system. It's not really a rate contest, but it's an interesting contest. It's a tactical contest, and it enjoys a good following from the UK, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and some other areas within the Commonwealth, which normally attract some international travellers that visit there because it's a good location. They can get a great score, quite often win the contest from these places. So it's a contest with a long history, and it's got a loyal following. This year, the lead up to the contest wasn't particularly great in terms of conditions. There was a bit of a geomagnetic disturbance. It's a fairly high A index. The solar wind was elevated. The bands actually sounded a bit messy, which wasn't really a good sign. I started on HF, I started on 10 and 15, and the bands were actually fairly good. They weren't great, but they were okay. 10 closed up fairly early to the UK. Then it was on to 15, and trying to keep an eye on 40 metres and 80 metres for these bonuses, which make up a big part of the score. Once I got onto the low bands, once I got onto 80 and 40, I kind of got the feeling that the activity maybe from VK and ZL wasn't that great. I worked a little bit of stuff on 80 metres. You only really get one shot at all the different paths in this contest. That's one of the tricky things. It's unlike a 48 hour contest where you're going to get maybe a couple of cracks at the long path, the short path or whatever. In Barrew, you only really get one go at a particular path. And if you miss it, well, that's it. You just move on and you're not going to get another chance. So it's really important, certainly from a VK6 perspective, to keep an eye on 80 metres and 40 metres at the start, because some of those paths you won't get another chance at. And I found on 80 in particular, there didn't really seem to be too many VKs around. I worked one solitary ZL, ZL3AB, who had quite a good signal, no other ZLs. And I worked a few, it wasn't particularly great, and I was on 40 metres as well and doing a bit there, and also 20 metres was opening up. So there was enough certainly to keep me occupied. I had the two radios set up, SO2R, and a second radio in Barrew is pretty handy because you can leave that radio on a band and jump around on the other bands and just keep an eye on maybe 80 or 40 metres and make sure there's no activity on there that you're missing out on. So it's not really the type of contest where you're going to do maybe a lot of interleave QSOs or anything like that, but it's certainly the SO2R aspect is really useful from trying to find and maximise the bonus score. So the contest moved on a bit, and I was quite surprised actually to find that the UK sunset time, there was some propagation from here to the UK with some pretty good signals, and I worked a few G's, which was great. I didn't actually expect the band to be open at that time. Generally speaking, the opening is better at our sunrise, but it was fortunate to get that. The band peaked up around about 15 minutes before the UK sunset, and probably by about 15 minutes after the UK sunset, it had closed up again. So it's quite a short opening on 80 metres. So that was a bit of a bonus. And 40 metres was actually pretty consistent. It was pretty good. The QSOs and the bonuses were quite good there. But all the way along, I was really thinking, oh, the activity is not maybe as good as it should be. And, you know, this is one of the things that sometimes happens in a lot of contests. There's a lot of casual operators that come on and just make a few QSOs, and they're not really on for the contest. They're just there to dish out a few points. And they actually make up the majority of most people's scores, to be honest, in most contests. And Barrew is no different. There's a lot of people that will only really be on for a few hours, or they just try and fit in some activity around their other everyday activities because everybody's busy with doing all sorts of other things these days. So it's one of those sort of situations where if the conditions are great, people turn on the radio, they think the conditions are great, we're going to sit here and we're going to work some more stations. If they turn on the radio and the conditions sound a bit iffy, which they actually were, then they turn off again. And you look at it and you think, well, there's not much activity. But in actual fact, it's just the way things tend to work out. Better conditions increase the activity. And I think maybe this last weekend, that's exactly what was happening. Certainly the signals from VE were very distorted, with multiple paths and auroral flutter and all that sort of stuff was going on most of the bands from here to VE. I did work quite a few VEs on the different bands, but the path to Canada wasn't really that great because they would have been a little bit further north and more affected with the issues with the geomagnetic field, I guess. So the first half of the contest for me was pretty good. I looked at the figures after 12 hours, and I thought, that's great. I looked at the figures after 14 hours. That was pretty good as well. But then after that, the wheels started to fall off a bit because the lack of activity, particularly in VK, meant that there wasn't much really going on during my daytime hours. And for the first time, I think for a long time, I went nearly 2 hours during the middle of the day. It was around about 10, 11, 12 during the middle of my day that I went for a couple of hours without making a single QSI. And I don't really recall that type of thing happening before in Beru. Oh, the QSI rate can slow up a bit. You might only make two or three an hour, but I don't really recall going 2 hours with no QSIs. So that was a bit of a surprise. And it was pretty hard to stay motivated under those circumstances as well, because it's not really, it's not a fast rate contest at the best of times, but when it slows up to that extent, then it's kind of hard. But anyway, I hung in there and eventually the band sort of came back. There was some notably good signals. I mean, Colin, ZF2CA, operating out of the station at ZF1A, Cayman Islands, was a fantastic signal on all the bands. I heard him. And of course, it's a brilliant station down there. And Colin's done very well again this year in that contest. And there's a couple of guys on from 6Y, Jamaica, in the restricted section. They were doing well. I think it was Ian, G4SGX. And there's somebody else as well, and they had good signals from the Caribbean. Andy 5Z4VJ, he was doing well. He got a good signal. It's a good path from here to Kenya. There weren't as many travelers this year as before, for reasons I can't really explain one way or the other, but there just weren't as many people traveling. And the travellers do actually make up quite an important part of the contest, because they add a little bit of flavour to it, and also there's more bonuses to be had. So there definitely wasn't as much action from the travellers. There was HQ stations in every major country, so the UK, Canada, Australia, New Zealand all had HQ stations. The HQ stations also count as bonus points, so they actually are quite important. There's a team competition going on as well, but that seemed to be harder to attract people to for some reason or other. The appetite for the team competition seems to have waned a bit over the last few years. But these things happen with contests; they go through different cycles. But there were some very good signals. There were some big numbers. XL3T from Canada. He was doing really well and had a great signal on all bands. M5DX in the UK had a very good signal. Could hear him, just about round the clock on 20 metres. And Graham G4FNL also had a very good signal. So it was good. It's a fun contest, and it's just not a big rate contest. That's all. And it is quite tactical. So certainly some nice signals. There was a few travellers. There were people getting around doing a few different things, but I think maybe a combination of lower conditions and lower activity meant, actually, generally speaking, this year the scores seem to be a bit lower, and the reports that have come through on 3830 and also the Beru website, which is run by Bob, G3PJT, the reports tend to indicate that the activity is a bit lower, the signals are a bit lower. The Canadians definitely seem to have a problem with not being able to maybe work as many stations as they normally would, being that much further north. Maybe in VK6 it didn't affect me quite as much. So I got a good run towards the end of the contest after I had the lull during the middle of the day, around about 0700 or so. The band started to pick up a bit. There was a long path opening on 20 metres through to the UK. And there's also a long path opening on 15 metres to the UK, which was good. And then 10 metres opened up a little bit more to the short path to the UK. So didn't end up too bad in the end. Surprisingly enough, and I wasn't really aware of it during the contest, but I finished up within very close to last year's score total, which I didn't really expect, given the conditions. That's just the way things work out sometimes. But so I wasn't unhappy with my score at all. But I can see by looking at the general scores, generally they look like they're a little bit down. So that's it for another year for Beru. It was once again a very enjoyable contest. As always, there's a lot of old friends who, you know, maybe we only contact them or contact each other once a year, and it happens to be Beru. So there's a lot of guys I know running compromised antennas, low power, QRP type stuff, who are on in Beru. And one of the advantages in Beru is that the band noise is not too bad. It's not really like, say, CQ Worldwide, where the band noise is elevated to a point where if you're trying to run QRP or you're trying to run compromised stealth type antennas, it's hard to get any traction. Whereas in Beru, I know for a fact there's quite a few guys I worked that were running QRP and quite good signals. And because the bands were fairly quiet, you can pick these guys out of the noise without too much trouble. There's not too much competition. There's one tricky thing in Beru, and there's always a lot of non-Beru callers, which can be difficult to deal with. Sometimes it's better just to work them and move on. But I found if you start working too many, then that ends up with a problem as well. It's almost a question of just working the ones you have to that are really strong, that are maybe very persistent, and just trying to move on. So it's not, that's just part of the contest that happens. Everybody mentions that every year, the non-Beru callers, particularly if you've got quite a good signal and you've got your active on all the bands, it's going to happen. Gave me a great opportunity to try out my new stacked X-beams for 2015 and 10, which I only finished a couple of days before the contest. This is an antenna system that I designed, modelled and designed for CQ Worldwide last year, but for various reasons I wasn't able to use it in an all-band capacity. So I spent a little bit of time reworking that and making things a little bit more rugged for the elements and the high winds here. And so that actually seemed to work really well. Pretty happy with that. That's going to be a subject probably of the next podcast. I'll talk a little bit more about the stacked beams for the HF bands. I had my 40 meter two element X beam as well. That worked well. And I had dipoles. I had a dipole for 80 meters up at 90 feet. So that was a good antenna. That was very good. Had some receiving antennas as well. I've got some beverages, and I've got some loops on ground, and some other antennas I've been experimenting with over the last 12 months or so, just to try and get a bit of an edge with the receive side of things. The receive antennas, essentially, it's all about the signal to noise ratio. It's not necessarily about the strongest signal. It's about trying to just cut down some of the noise. And I tend to use those receive antennas in conjunction with SO2R if I'm doing interleave QSOs on two bands, that sort of thing. The receive antennas are quite useful. So they're a bit of work in progress. Again, I think that's probably going to be the subject of the next podcast, because the antennas, the receive antennas, the loops, the preamps, all that sort of thing, they certainly warrant their own podcast. And I'll probably cover that in the next podcast that I make. But this one was really just all about Beru. Once again, I'd like to thank the HQ stations for all their efforts putting on such a great performance throughout the contest. These guys, they're not really in any particular category in the contest. They're just on there to provide bonuses to all the other participants. So, and certainly they would, the contest would be, wouldn't be anywhere near as enjoyable without the HQ stations. It's worth noting that the main level of operation is coming from the UK, Canada, Australia, New Zealand. Without those countries, this contest wouldn't exist. And the the operation from the rest of the Commonwealth is really, really low. You know, there's hardly anything from VU, and there's just really not much from Africa these days. So, but there's a lot of Commonwealth contests, and we know there's a lot of operators out there. And so maybe the next challenge is to try and reach out to some of those other operators in those countries and try and get a bit of activity for next year from some of the more exotic countries that we know are there and there's operators, but they just don't appear in Buru. So that's probably about it for this one. Thanks for listening, and look forward to seeing you in the next contest. 73s from Kevin, VK6 Lima Whiskey, and Victor Kilo 6 Tango in the contest, of course.